Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So later today, CIPTU, the trade union that represents childcare workers and childcare providers, will meet to discuss an increase in the rate of pay for staff across the sector. The union says that pay increases are needed to offset staff retention issues, while businesses say they just can't afford to raise the pay. I'm joined on the line by Dara O'Connor, who's head of organising at CIPTU, and Elaine Walsh, who's chairperson of the Federation of Early Childcare Providers. And you're both welcome. Dara, childcare workers, they got a pay deal just last year. So what has changed between now and then?
Well, for a long time, I think early years has been one of the worst paid sectors in the economy, bar none. And last year certainly was a big breakthrough for the sector. A new funding scheme was introduced by government. I think they recognise a lot of the fundamental problems that were there, including low pay. And we concluded our first pay deal. And that, for an early years educator, that would be about half the sector is an early years educator, and they moved up to 13 euros an hour, which doesn't sound much for the work and the qualifications that people have, but certainly a lot of people saw increases there. And I think although the fundamental issue remains is that services are really struggling to recruit and retain staff. It's putting huge pressure on the remaining staff who have to pick up the slack, but also putting pressure on providers who are struggling to keep rooms open and to kind of maintain their staff-to-child ratio.
So what you've learned is that the 13 euro an hour, it's not cutting it. It's not keeping those staff in the business.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's a long way off what people deserve to have. But when you come down to brass tacks, people are struggling to put food on the table and put petrol in the car to get to work. It's 85 cents below the living wage. And these are professional workers who are all qualified, who do an essential public service, even though it might be in a private or not-for-profit service. This is crucial to the functioning of families and the economy. And quite frankly, people can't afford to stay in the profession at 13 euros an hour.
Just explain, if you will, before we come to Elaine, this core funding model that the government has introduced. Is that working?
Well, it seemed a huge amount of extra money coming into the sector, which is really welcome. And around 207 million euros of that is earmarked for pay and for graduate premiums for those people who have degrees as well. So certainly it's very welcome, and I think it's been welcomed by the vast majority of the sector as well. But we have to make sure that that money goes as far as it can. I mean, the government want to see pay increase because they know that's good for quality for children, and they also want to see fees reduced for parents as well. They're the two goals. So government need to know that if they put the money into the system, they get the bang for the buck. It has to deliver for parents, for children, and for the people delivering the service.
Okay, so Elaine, it sounds like that 207 million in core funding, that was designed to help with those pay problems that you say you're experiencing in your business, you and your colleagues who run childcare facilities. But it's obviously not working if the union says the pay needs to go up by another 2 euro an hour.
No, look, the core funding for a large number of the small services, they lost out last year, and we fought long and hard to try and get more funding from government for them. And, like, at the end of the day, when you see over 200 services closing down this year alone, and a large number saying they're going to close down next year, well, then obviously there's a problem with funding. People are tired of fighting government to get pennies, and it's not working. We welcomed core funding. We were all delighted to see it coming in. And now we're seeing on the ground that it has failed the providers.
Why?
And because the funding that they gave us, it wasn't enough to cover all of the costs, all of your outgoings, and then on top of your wages. Now, just to say, there actually are providers who are paying above the 13 euros. But we're waiting on more data from the department to confirm exactly who those service types are, where that money is going. Last year, the Federation, we ran a lot of surveys. We did a lot of data, went back to Minister Gorman, met with him and showed that the small and medium-sized services were the ones that were being failed through core funding. And what we've seen is that those service types have not upped their fees from 2017. Now, I'm one of those services. I hadn't upped my fees in 2017. So in order for me to sign up to core funding, I was tied into a fee freeze from 2017, not 2021. So that was a massive hit for my service type.
And that's why you didn't sign up for core funding, because you needed to increase what you were charging. Otherwise, you would have had to charge parents what you were charging back in 2017.
Exactly. And it's still the same this year. So any of us that upped our fees in January of this year to ensure that we were on the same level as the other providers in our areas are still being left out of core funding because we cannot sign up again this year.
Okay.
Because I still have to go back to 2017 fees if I signed up for August.
So Dara, it sounds like your argument could be with the government for taking that strategy with childcare providers like Elaine.
Well, I think government do need to put in funding into the sector. I mean, the fees need to drop for parents and pay needs to improve quality. I mean, and I think certainly that they've put a lot of money into the system last year, and they put there was a 48% increase between 22 and 23 and another 11% increase there as well. And I think there needs to be confidence that if this money goes in, it delivers.
But it's not. You heard Elaine explaining why she hasn't opted into that scheme.
Well, I think the fee freeze is important because if you bring in subsidies to reduce the fees for parents, if there isn't a cap, if there isn't a fee freeze or some form of cap, the fees just keep on going up and up. So it's like putting money into a leaky bucket. And, you know, the government aren't going to do that. They'll put us into other areas like health or housing to be able to kind of address those problems as well. But I think, you know, certainly I'd agree with Elaine. A lot of people are paying over the statutory minimum of €13 an hour. Like €14 and €14.50 is pretty common. And if you go on to I went onto the jobs website this morning just to see, and generally that's the kind of the starting rate around the country is around €14, €14.50.
Okay,
and certainly that needs to be
right. So,
Elaine, if that's reflected in the pay deal.
Okay, so if that's the reality, Elaine, of what's happening, why would you be resistant to minimum pay of €15 an hour? Because it sounds like that's fairly close to what you have to pay anyway to get people.
Okay, so like there are service providers who are in a position to do that, but there are small and medium services that are barely breaking even at the end of the year, and they're the ones we're trying to protect here. They don't have the money. They don't have the funding. You looked at the ECHA services last year. They lost out big time on funding. And then this year, Minister Gorman has offered them a flat rate of €4,075 for the year. That doesn't even cover their costs that they accrued from last year. So those services, they're the ones we are losing rapidly around this country. And I'm constantly, daily having phone calls from parents asking, can I help them to find places in different areas, in different counties around the country? I've never seen anything like it. I mean, at the end of the day, if government wants us to up the wages, they're going to have to come up with more money. 3 cents an hour per child is what they've offered us extra for this year. 3 cents an hour. I mean, that's not going to cover the cost of the staff wages or all of our outgoings. So it's a very worrying time for the sector. Yes, we're struggling to get staff. And we actually ran a survey there recently, and we asked the providers where the staff were going when they were leaving. And the places they were going to was S&A jobs, so that's the Department of Education. They were going to work for TUSLA, so that's part of our own department. They were working for Better Start, part of our own department. And they were going to work for the County Childcare Committee. They were the main places they were going to. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very worrying because we can't compete with those wages.
With the state.
We can't compete with the Department of
Education. I have listeners getting in touch, including Deborah, who says early years educators are stressed. Lack of staff means it's difficult to take breaks, to be sick, to take holidays because there isn't anyone to cover it. The stress hasn't relented since 2020. There are over 60,000 with early years qualifications in the past decade. There's no staff shortage. It's a wage shortage. Elaine, what do you say to Deborah?
No, I don't agree with Deborah. There is a staff shortage. I mean, people come into this sector, and I see it in my own job. They come in, they work a couple of years, and then they move on. I mean, we're seeing burnout of providers here as well, and staff. Absolutely, there's burnout. We're all worn out, but we're fighting for more funding from government. I mean, our fight isn't amongst all of us. The fight is that government need to go into that little pot of gold that they have, that $65 billion, and put more funding back into the sector. I mean, that's where the fight needs to be.
So how do you feel then when you hear Dara O'Connor from SIPTU on the line saying you need to pay more?
Look, I respect what Dara and SIPTU are trying to do, but the reality on the ground is the funding isn't there. And we're on a fee freeze. And if you've got service providers that signed up to core funding last year, they're tied in to a fee freeze from 2016-2017. And that's the reality for a large majority of the small and medium services.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. That's Elaine Walsh and Dara O'Connor, and I'm sure we'll return to that subject again. Childhood Services Ireland have sent us a statement saying that they're the trade association within the business lobby group IBEC, which represents childcare providers, so the creches and so on. They tell us in a statement that in relation to this proposal for a pay increase, we estimate it will cost employers €132 million on an annual basis, and they say that this is wholly unaffordable. Some news coming in from Mayo, where the Taoiseach is today. He's been telling reporters that next year Dubliners are going to get a vote on whether or not they want a directly elected mayor. He said the plebiscite vote will be held on the same day as the local and European elections. So interesting times ahead for the office of the mayor and for the people who will vote for that person. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.